Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast of Connecting Faith. Programs like this are made possible through the financial support of listeners like you. You can find out more or make a gift by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab on the homepage. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me. I'm Neil Stavem. As you hear, we talk about something good in your lunch hour. The fact is that there are millions every year, thousands every day that don't experience a lunch hour or breakfast or supper. In fact, there's some, 25,000 a day that actually are starving. Nearly 6 million children a year die of hunger, malnutrition, and related diseases. That is just a phenomenal number. At the flyleaf of a book I read a couple of years ago from Roger Thoreau and Scott Kilman, the book is called Enough, Why the World's Poorest Starve in an Age of Plenty. And here's what it says, the opening line. For more than 40 years, humankind has had the knowledge, tools, and resources to end chronic hunger worldwide. And yet, at the start of the 21st century, 25,000 people a day die of hunger, malnutrition, and related diseases. It kills more Africans than AIDS and malaria combined. The world paid for its complacency with the 2008 food crisis, which is a warning of worse to come. That's how the book opens up. We're going to talk about hunger today, and it's something that we take for granted here, most of us. We enjoy our three square or even more. But we want to talk today with a former congressman and ambassador who has spent a great deal of his life championing the cause to end hunger. In fact, he is now serving as the executive director of the Alliance to End Hunger. And here in Connecting Faith, we like to talk about the issues of the day and look at ways we can apply biblical principles to those situations, and certainly hunger is one that we cannot ignore. I'd like to introduce my guest. I'm happy to have the opportunity to talk to Ambassador Tony Hall, who represented the people of Dayton, Ohio for 24 years in the U.S. House of Representatives. He also served as the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Agencies for Food and Agriculture. He is now serving as Executive Director of the Alliance to End Hunger. It's an organization that engages diverse institutions, corporations, nonprofits, faith-based organizations, universities, in building the will to end hunger at home and abroad. And he's been in our area in the past few years and still has regular times of connection with the congressman and has a personal faith. And we want to welcome Tony Hall to the broadcast. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, Neil, it's good to be on your show. Thank you.
I want to spend some time just talking about the issue of hunger. It's a big issue, and you've spent years focusing on it. But I know you've written a book even called "Changing the Face of Hunger." But tell me a little bit, I guess, just at the outset, how you got involved. When did this become a seemingly lifelong passion for you?
Well, I believe it probably started to really get stirred in my heart and in my mind when I was in the Peace Corps many years ago. I was in the country of Thailand, and I lived up country, and I think living among people that were poor, I think, really helped me think about something other than myself. But it began to really take shape when I was in the Congress in the 1980s, and I was chairman of the subcommittee at that time of the Subcommittee on International Hunger, and Ethiopia was experiencing this horrendous famine. And we kept reading, my committee kept reading about all of these people starving to death, and it was hard for us to kind of understand that. 7,000 people were dying every day in one country, and we were trying to figure out, how can that be? And nobody had been to Ethiopia during this famine, at least from the United States, nobody in any official way. So I felt it kind of incumbent upon me that maybe I should go over and take a look and report back to Congress what I had seen. So I went over, and I went over as guest of Sisters of Charity, Mother Teresa's group, And I was up country for a couple of hours, a couple hours from Addis Ababa by light plane. And we were in a very rural area visiting a clinic. And the clinic was very small. But surrounding this clinic were just thousands of people that had been walking for miles, thinking that this clinic was going to have food and medicines and water. But it really didn't have anything. It had a few bottles of medicine, a little bit of water, hardly any food, and they could only take care of about five people that were hurting that day. But there were at least 2,000 or 3,000 people there, and they didn't look good. And as I walked outside, people thought I was a doctor, and they were handing me their dead children. And thinking that I could maybe do something to retrieve them or recover them. And I must have seen all 25, 26 children die in a matter of minutes among at least many of the dead people or dead children that I saw. And for the next 3 days, this is what I saw in Ethiopia. I just saw lots of children, lots of people die from famine. And I never got over that. I think about that often. That was in 1984, and I've carried that image that, and I was just stunned. And I thought, you know, coming back on the plane from Ethiopia and reporting back to Congress, I began to think to myself, you know, we do a lot of things in our life that really don't amount to much. And we do a lot of things in Congress that don't amount to much. And I thought, well, this is what I'm going to concentrate on. And it pretty much follows what my faith is. And so that's how I really got involved in the issue of hunger.
Tony, as I mentioned right at the outset, that, you know, we have the knowledge, the tools, the resources to end hunger. It's still a problem. Give us a sense of maybe the progress in the fight against hunger and what's different now compared to 5, 10, or even, you know, 25 years ago when you went to Ethiopia.
Well, let me point a picture of what's going on in the world today, and then I'll tell you what's changed. You said that 25,000 people are dying every day, and that's true. But I can tell you that 25 years ago, it was 42,000 people dying every day. So that's come down quite a bit. 25,000 people, still a lot of people. But still, it is coming down. In Africa, they don't produce any more food in Africa today than they did in 1960. And it's because there hasn't been really a lot of investment with small farmers there at all, especially farmers that own 5 acres or less. And hybrid seed is actually, in the last couple of years, been introduced into Africa. And hybrid seed was, of course, revolutionized American farmers in the 1930s. So things are going to start to change, I think, in Africa. And Roger Thoreau talks about that in his new book. And his new book is going to come out. It's called The Last Hunger Season. It'll come out in about a month or two from now. And he talks about that. But so that's going to change. But there are still 1 billion people in the world today that are starving. I mean, and they're hurting. I mean, they are to the point where they don't know where their next meal is going to come from. I've met mothers that get up in Africa and different places of the world that leave early in the morning because they're embarrassed to face their children because there's nothing to eat. But at the same time in America, you know, we have hunger in America as well. We've got at least 48 million people that are hungry in America, and that's a staggering figure. No, it's not the kind of hunger that's in Ethiopia or Sudan or the Congo or even places like North Korea, but it's the kind of hunger where these 48 million people are working poor. They are senior citizens. They are women and children that are going to bed hungry 2 or 3 days out of every month because they run out of money after they get done paying their utility bills and their rent, their daycare bills, et cetera. They find themselves 2 or 3 days out of every month without any money, and they go without. They go without food. That's happening in America. A lot of this has happened, has been on the increase since 2008 because of the recession. People have been thrown out of work, and people are just having a tough time making it. So there are some good things happened, and there are some things that have changed over the past 25 years, but this recession has really hurt.
Have we learned some lessons? I mean, you've been, served in Congress for some 24 years and been leading the fight against hunger for a long time. The Alliance to End Hunger Now is where you focus your attention. But are there some lessons that we've learned? And, obviously there's been some progress internationally to be down from over 40,000 deaths per day, but still a big number and an increasing number across America. So, does it still come down to some basics that we need to apply, or are there other ways to attack the problem?
I think, we're learning all the time. I think, we know how to end hunger, and I think we learn more every day about it. We sometimes, we learn from a lot of mistakes that we've made. We've sometimes gone into countries overseas where we have, disrupted the market with our own food. Sometimes we go in where farmers are trying to produce food, whether it be in India or China or places in Africa, and where the farmers have produced some food and they're looking to sell it or put it out on the markets, and we bring our own food in for free, and it disrupts the market. Well, we don't do that anymore. Because it's unfair, it disrupts the market, and it hurts the farmers there, and they don't have an income. So what we try to do is we do provide food to a lot of people in the world, but only if the food is not available. And so we really push local purchase. If we can buy food from the farmers, that's a good thing. Secondly, we've learned that we need to introduce new agricultural techniques and new kind of seeds and technologies to places like Africa that are way behind in their agricultural practices. Other things like getting people on their feet, making small loans, especially to women, microcredit, microfinance, really has a wonderful effect on getting people not only to work, but to hire more people. These small loans of somewhere between $100 and $125 that are paid back so they can start their own businesses. 98% of this money is paid back. And I would tell you that most banks in America would love that. So microcredit really works. Clean water, digging for wells, and all of these programs are really significant. We've learned a lot about them. We know that they work. And if we can just do more of them. And the bottom line is, I think, Neil, is we need to have more of a political will, more of a spiritual will, really, to end it. We know what to do, but we don't have enough leadership in the world and I think in our own country really to come together to make it happen.
In just a moment, we'll talk more about that and find out where that will might be, and particularly as our faith should inform us. And we'll get some good perspective from Tony Hall. He's a former ambassador to the United Nations agencies for food and agriculture, and he was a congressman for serving the people of Ohio for some 24 years in the U.S. House of Representatives. And he is now serving as executive director of the Alliance to End Hunger. And we're addressing that global concern today, and we'll talk more in just a minute. Also, I want to invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question, maybe a thought or a comment or a viewpoint you'd like to share, you're welcome to call at 877-933-2484. It's 877-933-2484. Past the hour, you're listening to Connecting Faith. Happy today to connect with Ambassador Tony Hall, Ambassador to the United Nations Agencies for Food and Agriculture some years ago, and he also served as Congressman from Ohio in the House of Representatives. He has written a book called Changing the Face of Hunger, and he serves as Executive Director of the Alliance to End Hunger. It's been his, a passion that he has carried for a number of years, and grateful for his leadership. Tony, I do want to find out a little bit about how your faith kind of informs how you look at some of these issues and maybe some challenge for us as the body of Christ, too. I mean, we seem like we sort of let this issue, you know, maybe get caught up in political viewpoints or whatever. Just give us some perspective on bringing a faith perspective to this.
Before I went over to Ethiopia, Neil, on that trip in 1984, I had a good friend that was kind of a mentor of mine. He would come into my office, and we would pray together, and I was a young believer, and we would read the scriptures together. I would ask him a lot of questions, and after a time, he began to say, you know, Tony, I really see a lot of progress in your life towards your family, towards your wife, and towards the way you conduct yourself, but don't you think you need to start bringing your faith into your workplace? And I said, you know, I think you're right, but how do I do that? I mean, you know, I'm a congressman. I don't feel comfortable, you know, shoving my faith down people's throats. I don't feel comfortable talking about it in a way in which, you know, I'm bragging about it or I'm wearing it on my lapel. I would prefer to maybe show a sermon rather than give a sermon. And anyway, I said, well, let's pray about it. We did. And then I went to Ethiopia. And then I had that experience I explained to you about seeing all those people die, and especially children. And when I came back from that experience, I began to really get into the scripture and notice how many verses in the Bible really deal with the issue of poverty and sickness and hunger and orphans and widows. As a matter of fact, there's well over 2,500 verses in the Bible that deal with that issue, and I didn't count all those verses, although I've been told this a number of times. One pastor said it was 2,000, another pastor said it was 2,500, so split the difference. I mean, it's a lot. You can't pick up a page in the Bible, I venture to say, today without reading about, you know, that, about what God has to say about faith and about poverty. There are two great verses in Proverbs that I really love that says that if you are gracious to the poor, you honor me. And then it says in, I think, Proverbs 19, it says, I'm paraphrasing right now, if you are good to the poor, you lend to me. And God doesn't say that. He doesn't use those terms very much in the Bible, that if you do something, you lend to me and you honor me. But he does say that if you help the poor. So it's very clear that God wants us involved with the poor. And that was a way, after talking to my mentor and coming back from that trip and reading the scripture, that I could bring faith into my workplace and kind of show a sermon without actually preaching a sermon.
Tony, I'm sure you hear from time to time people will say, well, you know, the church should do more. We should, you know, live out our faith, and so you know, we could get rid of food stamp programs and those kinds of things. How do you react to, I guess, this responsibility that we should be taking on more?
Well, I react in a good way. I mean, there's no question that the church can do more, should do more. I think, you know, the church plays an important role in fighting hunger in America and around the world. And our churches are really the last line of defense of keeping people who are really in tough circumstances from going hungry. There's no question about that. You know, the church can also be effective in raising its voice in support of policies and programs that help poor and hungry people. But what is really interesting is that not everyone agrees. People of faith agree on the role of government and the role of the church and how they address this issue. Because I'll tell you, the government programs, they account for over 90% of the funding that really exists today to help hungry people in the United States. Whether you're talking about free and reduced price school lunch or the SNAP program, or which we call the food stamps, or the WIC program, nutrition programs, et cetera. But then all of the food from the churches, the food banks, soup kitchens from across the country, they account for less than 8%. And so the government in our domestic food program comes up with 92%, and the churches come up with 8%. And something's wrong with this arithmetic, because God says he wants us involved. And it is important that the church be involved, and the church is involved. But the church can do more, but they're not.
And the numbers have gotten so large that it would really take a pretty significant, I guess, overhaul of our mindset to ramp up to be able to, you know, even pick up another 20% of that 92% government support.
Well, if the churches were to pick up 50% of the funding to help hungry people in this country, we're talking billions of dollars. Billions. So it's an issue that comes up often. I get asked this question all the time. You know, don't you think that the government should get out of the business of feeding people and that the church should do it all? Well, I'd like to see the church do a lot more, but the fact is that they don't. They really don't.
My guest is former Congressman and former Ambassador Tony Hall, who is now the Executive Director of the Alliance to End Hunger. It's an organization that engages diverse institutions, from corporations to nonprofits to faith-based organizations and universities, in building the will to end hunger at home and abroad. And it may be that you have a question or comment or an opinion on the issue, or maybe something that you have been involved in directly, maybe in reducing hunger. Perhaps it's been by packing food or whatever it might be, or you've taken some trips, you've done some egg adjusting, some help maybe on a trip overseas. I'd love to hear your story and have you join the conversation at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Or you can always go online if that's more convenient. It's faithradionet.com. That's our website, faithradionet.com. And then you can click on the Connecting Faith show page, and there's an email link there to get you right to the studio if that's more convenient for you. But love to have you join the broadcast, and we're going to talk more with Tony Hall in just a moment. Find out a little bit about the Alliance to End Hunger and look at some of the ways that we can make a difference. Maybe jump into farm subsidies a bit and talk more about microloans, some just great opportunities there to to make a big difference in with just a little bit. So we'll talk about the little things we can do and the big things we can do, and we'll get to all that in just 2 minutes as we continue with Ambassador Tony Hall right here on Connecting Faith. Stay tuned. Past the hour, you're listening to Connecting Faith, and we're connecting today with Tony Hall, former U.S. ambassador to Rome and three-time Nobel Peace Prize nominee. And he served the people of Dayton, Ohio for 24 years in the U.S. House of Representatives. He's a congressman, and he is now director of the Alliance to End Hunger. And we're talking today about the issues of hunger. And, Congressman, I guess I'm interested as in your time in office, and even now you're working with an alliance. You know that there's a lot of it needs to be a lot of cooperation, a lot of give and take. You know, it seems like we can see evidence of maybe bad policies or excesses of all up and down the line when we're talking about food subsidies or farm subsidies or hunger, whatever it might be. How do you balance, I guess, holding true to your convictions and getting help when there needs to be the give and take of the political process?
Well, that's a good question. You run into some difficult issues sometimes, when these bills come up in front of the Congress because, you want to help people in your own country, you want to help people overseas, but then these bills come up relative to hunger programs and, in order to pass them, sometimes they have large subsidies in it, and you have farm legislators, legislators that predominantly support agriculture bills, and they're thinking of their constituency, and if there's not compromises met with them, it's hard to pass these bills that feed people. So it can be touchy and very sensitive sometimes because the farm legislators are really, they're representing their constituents. At the same time, there's people like me that we don't like the subsidies. And, we think there shouldn't be subsidies. And so it's a problem. There's a lot of give and take. And, you need give and take sometimes to pass a piece of legislation. Actually, we don't see a lot of give and take in the Congress these days. We probably need a heck of a lot more. So, yeah, it's a good question. It's a tough one. I always find that, if you do the right thing, if you do what you think is right, even though the people in your district might not like your vote, in the long run, you're going to be okay because you're going to make 200 or 300 votes a year, and there's bound to be votes that people are not going to like. And there's always going to be thousands of people on one side and thousands on the other side. So I think on issues that really affect your principle, follow your principle, and I don't think you can go wrong.
Is there, Congressman, is there one thing that we could do maybe that would have the most impact, I guess, as you look over the grand scope of the hunger fight? Is it having to do with trade? Is it subsidies? Is it, helping getting hybrid seeds? And what is there, I guess, let's talk about the effectiveness, and maybe there's on several levels. Maybe there's microloans obviously are effective, but is there sort of a macro effectiveness and a micro effectiveness?
Well, there's a number of things you can do. I mean, there's the 1,000-day nutrition program, and, you could say, the first 1,000 days of a child's life is really the most important part of their life because that's when their body, their brain is developing. It's very, very important that they have proper nutrition because that's when their body is developing. So we got to be sure our children have the proper nutrition, et cetera. But I could also name 15 other things as well. I think the important thing is leadership. And, you know, we need somebody in the country or even in the world to take this issue on and say, hunger is an important issue, and I want hunger to be the number one issue, and I'm going to end it in America. And I want to be able to say to Americans that nobody's going to go to bed hungry ever again in America. We have enough food here to make that happen. And we have enough know-how to make that to happen. We don't have the political will to make that to happen. And but that's going to take a president of the United States to make that a top priority. The G8, you know, the top eight countries of the world saying that the priority in the world today first is to fight hunger and to feed people, and it's the number one human right in the world today. We've never had that, and nobody's ever said that, and nobody's ever made that their number one claim, their number one program, and I think when you don't have a top leader do that, what happens is we work on a lot of different types of programs that are good, but the job doesn't get done. You need leadership at the top. It's one of the things that we do at the Alliance to End Hunger. We stress community by community. We stress hunger-free communities. And we worked on this in Dayton, Ohio when I was a congressman there for 24 years. And I would say to my community, we would try to bring, we did bring our companies together and our nonprofits, our food banks and soup kitchens. And I got a small committee together and I said, let's be hunger free in Montgomery County, Dayton, Ohio. What would it take to be able to say to our county and to our city that nobody's ever going to go hungry free, nobody's ever going to go hungry again in Dayton, Ohio. And so we established a number of programs and worked on it for a number of years. And it really, really worked. And that's one of the things we're trying to do at the Alliance to End Hunger is we have a website and we work on enticing and getting communities across the country to do just this. And Minnesota is doing a good job, and they're way ahead of a lot of states in some of the things that they are doing. But it needs a lot of work. It needs leadership. It always needs leadership. But if a president of the United States said to Americans, I'm going to end hunger in America, it can be done. It really can be done, and it wouldn't take a lot of effort. It doesn't take a lot of know-how. It would just take rearranging priorities.
And we still continue to hear about situations that come up, whether it's Darfur, wherever, Somalia, wherever it might be, that are just devastating. I guess it seems that hunger is still used maybe as a weapon in some places in the developing world, aren't they?
Absolutely, and those places are very, very difficult. Zimbabwe is an example. Southern Sudan is an example. North Korea. I mean, North Korea, I've been to North Korea 8 times, and probably North Korea is the worst country in the world as far as hunger is concerned because they used to have about 27 million people. I think they're down to about 23 million people. So many people have died there from hunger. They have very little energy. They have a very small growing period. A good portion of their country is mountainous. The agriculture practices of the country is terrible. The government has not done a very good job in representing their people. It's a government that really has hurt the people in so many ways, spiritually and politically and otherwise, and it's been called the Hermit Kingdom. And people eat grass there and twigs, it's a very, very backward country.
We're going to continue our conversation in just a moment with Congressman Tony Hall. He served as ambassador to Rome and to a three-time Nobel Peace Prize nominee, and he serves now as executive director of the Alliance to End Hunger. And we want to talk a little bit about some practical things that we can do as individuals that will make a difference and that we can start today. And we'll just review a few more of those stories with Tony Hall in just a minute. I encourage you to stay tuned. You're welcome to join the conversation, too. If you've been involved in the fight against hunger, we'd love to hear what's been most rewarding to you and how it's made a difference in your life. 877-933-2484.
Every blessing to my heart to sing my praise. Streams of mercy never cease.
Past the hour here on Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, and my guest today is Tony Hall. He's a former ambassador. U.S. ambassador to the United Nations Agencies for Food and Agriculture and served as a congressman from Ohio for a number of years and is now serving as executive director of the Alliance to End Hunger. We're going to talk a little bit more about that and make sure we give you the website for that as well. Tony, I'm interested if just my kids got my wife and I involved in microloans through Kiva, which is a wonderful little opportunity to make a connection. And so we have had an opportunity to do that, but I'm just wondering if there's some simple things that all of us could do just to take a step today that would make a difference. What's maybe most effective, or what do you like most when you want to just encourage people to get started doing something?
Well, Kiva's good. Kiva's good. Opportunity International is an excellent organization. They're a member of the Alliance to End Hunger. They do great microfinance work. They're also a Christian organization. I think another thing is, another little thing is everybody that is concerned about this issue really ought to talk to their elected officials. You know, they should talk to their congressmen, their senators, write them a letter or email or talk to the mayor, talk to their state senator. Talk to them about getting them, you know, a lot of people don't talk about hunger. And they don't talk about it as an issue, but it really affects about 48 million people in our country and millions of people overseas. So they really need to let their elected officials know that it's an important issue. But let me give you another thing that I think is really important. It's a story that Mother Teresa told me. I had the chance to meet Mother Teresa a number of times, and I was with her the first time in Calcutta, and I visited with her. She took me downtown, and she was showing me this very populated area, very poor, very squalid conditions of people just kind of living on top of one another. And, at that time, I was chairman of the Select Committee on Hunger. I'm supposed to know something about hunger, and I said something to her. I said, I'm supposed to know something about hunger, but I'm not even sure I can take care of the people on this block, let alone what I'm supposed to be doing as a congressman. And she didn't say anything to me. She saw this person lying in the street that was practically dead, and she got some men to pick him up, and she took him back to her hospice, and she began to really wash him off and take care of him, love him, and as she always did with everybody. And she came back to me later that afternoon, and she said to me, always do the thing that's in front of you. And she said, not everybody can come to Calcutta like you, but if everybody did the thing that's in front of you, whether you're in Minnesota or South Dakota or North Dakota or Dayton, Ohio or Boise, Idaho, and probably half the stuff we do in the government we wouldn't need to do. So I thought that was a very good lesson to me. And what I say to you, Neil, and to your kids and other people that might be listening, do the thing that's in front of you. If everybody did what's going on where they live, help their next-door neighbor, volunteered at their church or their synagogue or or whatever they're, you know, wherever they might be, or somebody that's hurting in their neighborhood or at school. You know, half the stuff we probably do in the world today we wouldn't need to do. And that was Mother Teresa's, that was Mother Teresa's point to me. Do the things in front of you.
It's a good word. Congressman, I'm thinking that you've had opportunity as you've traveled over the years to see examples where you know, people have done that and it's made a difference. Talk a little bit about what transformation looks like as it relates to hunger, maybe in a village where suddenly they're able to grow crops for themselves, or just maybe it's a poor neighborhood, whatever. I'd just like to hear maybe a story or two of what that looks like, what that transformation means to individuals and a community.
I traveled with Opportunity International down to Nicaragua a couple years ago. And we went down and we went out into a rural area and where they were making small loans to a number of people in the area. And there was about 10 people that they were making loans to. I'd say maybe the average loan was $125. I think out of the 10 or 12 people that were there, I think 9 or 10 of them were women. And one was going to be a baker, and the other one was going to be a seamstress. And I can't remember exactly what the rest of them were going to do. Oh, another lady was going to greet buses as they came in from the outlying areas in the main city. I think the main city was Managua, and she was going to have buttered rolls and coffee for people as they got off the, and you know, and then they would pay so much money for that. And this is how, and they had what they called trust groups, and so they would teach them the techniques about, they would teach them the techniques about, you know, money and how to use it. And how to pay it back every week. But they also had scripture, and they would pray together, and they would kind of be accountable to one another. Not kind of, they were accountable to one another. And they would go, if somebody in that group of 10 or 12 people didn't make their loan that week, because they had to pay a little bit back every week, everybody in that group was accountable to finish that loan out. In other words, if somebody was short that week because a child was sick and they had to buy some pharmaceutical or some drugs to take care of that child, then everybody in that group had to pay for it. So there was a real accountability factor. And I thought, you know, this thing really works. 98% of that money was paid back. All those people provided not only jobs for themselves, but after a while hired other people to help them in their work, whether it was baking or seamstress kind of work, or that lady who, you know, was meeting the buses coming in with coffee and buttered rolls. And I thought, this is a good program. I've seen a lot of these kind of programs all over the world. I've visited about 130 nations in my time in the last 25 years, and I thought, these programs work. And microcredit works, clean water programs work, hybrid seeds and agriculture technology works, feeding people, especially young girls and boys in school, gets people in school. And when you feed kids, it takes the sting out of terrorism. When people are not hungry, you know, they're thinking about how to take care of their family, what they can do to work. So these programs really, really work.
Congressman Tony Hall is my guest today. We're talking about hunger. He is the executive director of the Alliance to End Hunger, and I would assume, Tony, that partnerships, as you focus on strategic partnerships, I mean, that it really, this issue is not something that where, you know, one part of the government or one part of the church can take care of that. It really does need strategic partnerships to make a dent in it, don't we?
It really does. It belongs to everybody. I mean, you know, at the Alliance to End Hunger, we believe that you got to invite everybody into the room. It's not just the government. It's businesses. It's individuals. It's universities. It's local people. It's food banks and soup kitchens. It's people of other faiths. It's a lot of people, and it's a collaboration. It's people working together. It's when you got people working together, you got wisdom, and you got accountability, and it works better that way rather than going alone.
Mentioned the website, and just maybe what if people want to find out a little bit more about the Alliance to End Hunger. Tell us about that.
www.hungerfreecommunities.org.
Hungerfreecommunities.org. Okay.
Yeah. www.hungerfreecommunities.org. Or you could go to the Alliance to End Hunger and then .org, and you know, we have access to different things.
Sure. What are you most excited about today in terms of, you know, you spent 20-plus years as this has been kind of a main passion. You've led the charge. You've spoken and legislated and encouraged and challenged us. So what are you most excited about today?
You know, what I'm excited about today is, what I'm most excited about today is my faith. And, you know, I'm 70 years old, and I feel good about what I'm doing, and oftentimes when I go to bed at night, I say, you know, it's been a pretty good day. I'm doing things that I know that are in the Scripture and God likes, and I feel good about what I'm doing, and I want to keep doing it, and I hope that what I'm doing, I'm leaving value, and I'm doing something that's important to God. So I guess that's what I like today, Neil.
You know, we are challenged to finish well, and we know there are always those that don't run the race well. What are some of your encouragements on how we can do that? I mean, we'd say, I want to get to 70 and be able to say, I'm doing what God is in favor of.
Well, I don't want to sound like a preacher.
Well, you got a couple minutes. You can preach. We'll, we'll take an offering at the end of it.
Well, I'll tell you, I have a good friend, Congressman Frank Wolf. I'm a Democrat and he's a Republican. And at 4 o'clock, which is about 2 hours from now, he and I, we get together, we pray together. And we've been doing it for 25 years. I like doing that. And then I have a prayer group every Thursday morning that comes to my house. I have 7 men that come over. And then I try to get together every morning by myself with God, you know, and read the scriptures. And, you know, I guess what I saw recently is, what I read recently is that really kind of stood out to me was that, I need to think of God more during the day than I do. You know, you get involved so much in your work and you get involved, you can get involved so much in what you think is important work and it takes you away from God. I think Mother Teresa said this well once. She said, you know, I think she said it in this way. She says, I hope the poor never get in my way of loving God. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but what she was saying was that you know, you can get so involved in what you think is important that you forget about what your real purpose is. So I'm sounding kind of preachy today, aren't I?
You know, you're doing just fine, and we're out of time. Otherwise, we could probably get that second or third stanza in there too. I suspect you could go for a little while, but we'll give you a chance to get ready to go visit Frank. And I'm so glad that you've carved out a little time for us today and laid down the challenge. Appreciate your stories and your passion, Congressman. And we wish you God's best as you continue to serve him in this important area.
Thanks a lot, Neil, and thanks for having me on, and I hope it helps, and I hope maybe, you know, for people listening, that it maybe educates a few people about hunger in the world today, what really is going on, because we really need to let our elected officials know that it's a major issue and it's not being addressed well.
Congressman Tony Hall, he's a former ambassador to the United Nations Agencies for Food and Agriculture. He's director of the Alliance to End Hunger. You can find out more at hungerfreecommunities.org. We'll put a link up on our website as well. Thanks for listening.